Everyone, you've tuned into Paradigm Shifters here on BBS Radio. We're running a little late today. I guess they're just filled up with so much information, it's spilling over the edges. My name is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor. And who are Paradigm Shifters? They're people who are making a difference in the collective on our planet at this time. And how? Well, my guest today is Alan Handelsman, and he's making a difference by being humorous, and by helping people release inner conflict through a number of techniques, energetic and psychological techniques, I'd say energetic techniques, evolutionary techniques. Welcome to the show, Alan.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's good to be on finally. You've been waiting a while.
Yes, it's good to be anywhere.
Alan is also a member of the Dowsers, and we just talked to Harold McCoy of the Dowsers, and there's this big conference in Santa Cruz next week, and Alan's going to be at that. So, Alan, you are a musician, and you're a hypnotherapist, and you're an energy tuner, and by the stuff I read, I would say that you're very much yourself. Is that what you'd say?
Well, I suppose so. Mm-hmm. I've done a variety of things. I remember hearing a biography of, I think it was Arthur Goldberg, who ended up being one of the justices on the Supreme Court years ago, and he had all these wonderful jobs, and I said, this guy can't hold a job. So maybe that's part of my secret of success.
Well, what's really interesting is I was reading your stuff, I was going, you know, because you do EFT, which is emotional
freedom techniques.
Yes, and you do hypnotherapy,
right.
And you work with people's inner conflict, but I love the connection between the music and the resonance tuner. So to me, you're someone who's working with people to bring them into their own inner, their own authenticity, or to release some inner conflict, right?
Right.
I love the way it is. So it doesn't matter which thing you do. So if you get bored easily, you can enter from many different portals, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
So tell us about being a comedian. What's that like?
Well,
I've only had...
Two or three professional jobs. One, I was booked as an after-dinner speaker for a service club from a friend of mine. And the service at the restaurant was so slow that I became the world's first before-dinner speaker. So everybody was listening to me crack jokes, and they were hungry, and I heard more stomach growling than applause or laughter.
But they appreciated you a lot, eh?
They did. And I like going to conferences rather than like comedy clubs, because at a comedy club I would be one of many funny people. When I do most of these conferences, there aren't a whole lot of funny people. So
people are just relieved that you might be there willing to crack a joke or two, huh?
Yeah, for some people they may get somewhat offended, but most people understand that it's just another way of doing what we're doing.
Well, and what kind of a musician were you?
Excellent.
And why did you give that up, eh?
Well, there's a few reasons. Actually, what happened was that I used to teach music lessons, and it got to the point where I learned a lot of the work that I'm doing now, and mm-hmm. and I would teach a music lesson, and it was 10 after 4, and I'd look at my watch an hour later, and it was quarter after 4. And then I'd be doing the work I'm doing now, and we start at 4 o'clock, and I'd look at my watch 10 minutes later, and it's quarter after 5.
Hmm.
So that's when I knew that this is what I wanted to do.
That's great.
I still play from time to time, but I like to have it as either a hobby or actually a way I can, you know, help friends of mine who may need some kind of musical service. So I used to do a lot of the Broadway shows that were traveling. The national tours would come into Phoenix, and I would play for the week or 2 weeks or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I've played a lot of the shows that people know.
Well, you know, I was absolutely fascinated by the way you were, I think the word is homogenizing. You were working with not only being a musician, but learning to, rebalance or retune instruments?
Well, I didn't learn that till many years later. My flute teacher was the one that showed me a process. He didn't really show me the process, but he showed me that instruments can be balanced and adjusted.
Mm-hmm.
so that they would respond better. The musician would feel a difference, and the listener might even hear a difference.
So that would be like an energy release technique?
Well, yeah, he said he was affecting the molecular polarization.
Interesting.
Yeah, which is a really nice term, but too hard for me to spell, so I changed it. and to me, you know, and at first I thought he was naive because I knew it was energy, but then I learned that matter was energy and molecules are energy, so I had to posthumously apologize.
By then,
did
you know a lot about energy? When he was teaching you that, you knew about energy already?
Not just a little bit. I think at that time I was actually not really. Okay. Not really, but when I looked back and when I first got into energy, I said, oh, this is, you know, he's doing energy work because actually I had a student who was a wonderful guy. He was an adult, but a really horrible saxophonist because he was a beginner and because he was very tense.
Mm.
So when Harold used to homogenize my instruments, they would sound better to me.
Mm.
So when I did some tapping, some EFT on this student of mine, and the change in the sound that came out of his saxophone was exactly what I would have expected if Harold had homogenized the saxophone.
Aha, so the bridge was crossed.
Yeah. So I knew that we were just doing the same work and just slightly different approach.
And this is after you learned EFT?
Yes.
Okay. So talk about energy. So talk about what does that mean to you, that instruments and people can be tuned like that?
It means that there's more going on than we're taught.
Okay.
Simple as that. And, you know, what does it mean technically? What does it mean... anything other than that, I'm not sure, because no one knows what's going on.
But if you go into an orchestra, I mean, did people come to you and want you to retune their instruments? I don't mean, like, tweak the knobs, but I mean actually...
Right, and actually do the resonance tuning on them.
Yeah.
Very few, actually. Mm-hmm. Maybe I didn't express it clearly. Actually, you know, Harold Bennett was the man who did homogenization, and he was a member of the Metropolitan Opera Orchestra. And... for many, many years, and I don't know how many people he got. He got all the students because he didn't ask. He told. And he said, you're going to do this. And
I wonder how he started it. Did you ever hear that story?
Not the whole story, or if I did, it was so long ago that I don't remember. But he was a pretty sensitive man, and he was he was a very talented man in a lot of ways. So he paid attention where others didn't, and he had such a sensitive touch in his ear and his fingers that he noticed when things were not quite right. So he was probably had the makings of a marvelous healer, and he did wonders with me.
So let's jump to the resonance tuner, which I love the term resonance tuner, knowing you're a musician, and this is an energy tool, right?
Yes, it is. I say it balances energy, and it does it by, again, adjusting not one or the other energies as much as the relationship between the two. So in other words, if you're a radio receiver and the signal's coming in and there's static or there's noise and it's fuzzy, well, an antenna, and maybe I'm showing my age, I don't know if there are antennas anymore, but an antenna doesn't change the radio and it doesn't change the signal, but it adjusts the relationship between the two. So in that way it's very compatible with the other work that I do in my office when I see clients, which is ending conflict.
Okay, so let's talk about that. You do hypnotherapy, right?
Yes.
I love it because you don't just do one thing. You're like a whole juggler. Of course, you were in the circus one time, too. We're going to talk about that, too.
Well, I was a musician. I didn't bounce a ball on my nose.
What did you do in the
circus? I put as many notes as I could fit into the space. I was just a musician in the band.
Oh.
And a lot of freelance musicians do that. Once or a few times.
Oh, I thought maybe you were on the trapezes and such.
No. No, I was able to stay on the ground and keep my feet firmly planted on the ground.
Well, we might come back to that, but anyway.
Okay. Let's see. So I do hypnotherapy. I do in my practice. I use a lot of techniques, a lot of processes that I've either learned through other courses. There was a group in California called 3-in-1 Concepts,
mm-hmm.
and I learned a lot from them. And they didn't do hypnosis, but they did a lot of things that I've incorporated into that process. And I define hypnosis differently than a lot of other hypnotherapists. In fact, I tell people, if you want to start a fist fight, walk into a room with 20 hypnotherapists and ask what hypnosis is. So when I tell people that I'm a hypnotherapist, it gives them some idea, but not. There are a lot of different styles of hypnotherapy.
I think the first time we talked, I asked you what was your goal with hypnosis, because a lot of times it's it's like past life stuff or releasing old abductions. So what do you remember what you said?
Yes, I remember what I said, even though it was so many years ago that we talked first. and you can explain that later if you want. Yeah, when you first asked me, what do you try to do when you hypnotize somebody? And I said, I'm really, the main thing is to try to get the check to clear. But what, aside from that...
You tap it, you homogenize it, right?
Well, usually, you know, it's funny because usually the people, seriously, the people that come to me, there is a trust that goes along. You know, they give me a check or a credit card number, whatever, and I trust them. I don't get, like, a driver's license number. I don't do all that sort of thing because they're trusting me with, you know, their body, mind, heart, and soul. So I think I can trust them for, you know, the price of admission.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been stiffed very few times, and, well, those people are no longer around. Anyway, actually, they probably are. So
he's probably on somebody's hypnotherapist couch. Help, I feel so guilty.
Yeah. And they could come to me if they feel guilty, because we could fix them up really quickly. Actually, my main goal, if there is a theme running through my work, the goal is, it has taken shape recently. For a while, I did what I could do, but now the passion that's coming into the work is to let go of inner conflict,
okay.
And which, you know, we have conflicts with other people, but it's always the conflict within ourselves that we can change most quickly and most effectively, and that will change our relationships with everybody else. It's like, instead of, if there's a movie that you're watching, which, if you want to think of our lives as a movie, one approach, and again, you're watching it, and it's dirty, and it's dark, and it's fuzzy. Well, you could wash every frame of the film, or you could wash the screen, or the lens of the projector, and that way every frame looks better immediately. So by ending the conflict, by ending judgment, that's like the biggest one of the biggest. Obstacles to being happy and peaceful in life. So if I can help somebody to know that they can be more peaceful inside, and we can actually do an experiential thing today.
I'd love that.
Good, absolutely. So we can do it anytime you say.
Okay, we'll do it in a few minutes then. I really like that whole idea of ending conflict, and I remember also that you said that you felt that it was the strongest contribution we can make, I think this is how you put it, on the planet, is being peaceful inside or becoming peaceful.
Well, you know, what does every Miss America pageant, you know, participant say? I want world peace. Well, mm-hmm. if you are more peaceful inside, then by definition and immediately, the world is more peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
And most people who are trying to save the world, well, I can't say that because I don't know most of them, but many of them, from what I've observed, they're trying to feel more peaceful in themselves by changing everything on the outside. And then maybe that would affect what's happening on the inside. To me, it's much more effective, it's much more powerful. If you're peaceful and you radiate that out, then you can change the world that way. And since there have been holy men and women and saints and ascended masters and bodhisattvas and all these people that have been on this earth since the beginning, and the earth isn't appreciably more peaceful, then maybe that's not what we're talking about. That's not the goal. Because it must be that it's okay that the world is in the chaos that it normally has. So maybe our true contribution or the best way we can either advance or just enjoy where we are right now is to be more peaceful on the inside.
Hmm. Is hypnotherapy your favorite activity, work, whatever?
You mean with my clothes on?
I was going to get personal, but I guess.
Well, here we are. I don't think of it. I enjoy working with people. I enjoy seeing somebody become more peaceful. I really enjoy seeing people get off of their own backs.
Mm-hmm.
However I can do that. I'm not in love with hypnosis per se. I was at a convention of the National Guild of Hypnotists, and there was one guy who said, "Well, I saw somebody hypnotized at a party, and I thought that was really cool, and I learned how to hypnotize people, and I became a hypnotherapist so I could hypnotize people." Well, I became a hypnotherapist because I could help people. I like the therapy part more than the hypno part. See, so
now wait a second. Do you tap people when they get in there?
No.
Okay.
No.
But it is an interesting concept, isn't it?
Well, yeah. You know, people who come to me and they've done EFT and they've enjoyed it. There are times when I'll say, okay, here's the situation, and they're maybe in a state of inner focus, which is the main part of hypnosis for me, and they have some uncomfortable stuff going on, some conflict, so I will probably ask them, you know, well, we can do this, or you can tap for it. Or sometimes what I do is I will tell people, you've been fighting the part that has been causing the problem.
Mm-hmm.
That part's been winning.
Mm-hmm.
That tells me that's where your power is. So as long as you fight that part, you're fighting your own power.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is we call on the part that's been causing the problem. I tell people, she may appear to you at the age at which the problem started. And I do that for a couple of reasons. Number one is you find out when the problem started. And number two, which is much more important, because in order to let go of the conflict and the judgment, it's usually a good idea to forgive that part. And it's much easier to forgive a 4-year-old or a 6-year-old than it is to forgive yourself at the moment, because you should know better. But a 4-year-old, usually you don't go to a 4-year-old for life advice. So I will ask them to meet that 4-year-old or 6-year-old or 12-year-old or whoever it is, and then we do what I call Godfather therapy, which is make her an offer she can't refuse. And if she's feeling bad, this 4-year-old or 6-year-old, then I'll and this person already knows tapping, I'll say, well, why don't you teach her how to tap for that? So and there's dozens of ways to make the connection and change that relationship, and then I'll say, can you love her exactly the way that she is? And usually they'll say yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, does she have to be any taller, shorter, smarter, dumber, better looking, worse looking? You know, I'd come up with anything I can think of. And I say, you mean, and I really grill them, and I said, you mean you can love them right now, even though they're miserable, they're feeling bad, and they've caused all this problem for so long? And they'll say yes, and I'll say, let her know that, because that's what she needs. She needs to know that she's okay. So, and then can you forgive her for causing the problems? Yes. Does she forgive you for waiting so long to come and get her and give her a better job to do? And lots of times the client will say, I don't know. I said, well, then ask her. Yeah, there's a lot of ways of finding out information, and I find that the quickest and easiest and best way is to ask.
Good, yeah. So what about what about potential? Do you figure people come up with their creativity and their potential when they're digging around in this hypnotic state?
Well, yeah, when we do the experience thing, when we do the storm, people find out very quickly that they are more than they ever knew that they were. So, which will hopefully become obvious when we do the process. So people find themselves. Another thing that I do, and this is an experiential thing too. You want to do it?
Let's do it, yes.
Okay.
Let's do the experience. Is everybody sitting? And you're not driving your car, we hope, because this is going to take you out of your third-dimensional connection, right?
That's right. If you're driving your car, just pull it into the wall first, so you're done with that, and then you can listen. There's two things. Number one, you sit and close your eyes. And you're going to do this, Veronica?
Yeah, I sure am.
Cool.
If I start snoring or something, wake me up.
I have that effect on a lot of women, so I'll be able to do that. Imagine, close your eyes, and imagine in front of you a picture frame. It can be wood, metal, any color, any style. And I'll work with you, Veronica, since you're here and you can answer me.
Okay, so you want a response, eh?
Yeah, you got that frame?
I have the frame.
Cool. Now, in this frame, I want you to put pictures of, and when I ask you the question, you don't have to answer it out loud.
Okay,
because everybody can answer it for themselves.
Nice.
So in this picture frame, I want you to put pictures of everybody in your life who needs to be taken care of, whose opinions matter, whose feelings need to be taken into consideration when you make choices, decisions, and actions.
Well, my picture frame's crowded.
Yeah. You can expand it or make the picture smaller.
Okay.
Got it?
Yep.
Good. Are you in that picture?
No.
Most people aren't.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. So the first thing we do at the first session, not the consultation, this is what I do with the consultation, because the consultation's free. The first thing we would do is get everybody out and get you in it. Because whoever's in that picture frame, in theory, gets the goodies, gets the benefits of your consideration, your actions, and your thoughts, and all of that.
Hmm.
Whoever's in that picture frame gets taken care of, and when you're not in it, then it's the automatic response is not to take care of yourself.
Hmm.
And the place that I found the metaphysical truth was in an airplane, and the airlines told it to me, which is absolutely amazing, because you don't expect that.
Mm-hmm.
But what they tell you when you get in the airplane is, if the air masks come down, and you're traveling with somebody else, put yours on first.
Right.
Otherwise, you're useless.
Right, especially with your kids and so on.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So most people aren't in that picture frame, and the reason is obvious, or at least it makes sense, because we're never taught to take care of ourselves, we're taught to take care of others.
Right.
And if there's something wrong with us, we're taught to go to somebody else to get help. We're never taught to look within.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I enjoy the work that I do, because I don't see gangs of others doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a hypnotherapist who said, in town, local, who said, people don't have the answers. If they had the answers, they wouldn't need me. I give them the answers.
And
I disagree with that, obviously, completely. Because if you look at somebody and they're a divine being and they have a direct connection with the whole universe, mm-hmm. then what am I going to tell them that they don't already know at some level?
So when you take them through the process, you're helping them to connect with the infinite being part of themselves.
Absolutely. And I can do that in the next 3 minutes, if you want to do that.
Well, let's do it. I'm up for being infinite. Or at least enjoying it a little bit more consciously every minute.
Yes, taking up the universe is, you know, being at one with the universe is great, as long as you're not charged rent by the square foot. And the other thing, too, is the two passions are ending the inner conflict and taking your power back.
Mm-hmm.
See? So when you stop fighting your own power, then you get to use it.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. And I do a lot of things that show where you can experience differently and change your concepts of what control means and what power means. So, feeling out of control is like being caught in a storm. and things are blowing this way and that way. I always think of the Wizard of Oz with the cowl and the barn, and they're flying around.
Right.
And we do one of three things, usually. We either duck as something is blown toward us, or we push it away, or we try to nail things down. Most of us in some way are control freaks.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to nail things down. Or at least we say, well, if I can do this project and this project, then I can relax. The problem with nailing things down is, as you're nailing one thing down, you get hit by 12 other things.
That's true.
Yeah. Everything I say is true. You'll get used to it as the hour goes on. Did I mention that humility is one of my greatest of my, you know, many strengths? That's maybe the greatest.
I thought it was going to be your greatest goal.
I gave that up a while ago. There's a story about Disraeli and Queen Elizabeth, mm-hmm. and I forget who said what to who. Maybe it was Disraeli and somebody else. And somebody says, "Don't be so modest. You're not that great." So, at any rate, where was I? Oh, so things blown around. So you get hit by 12 other things. Well, I'm going to show you how you can have more control right now.
Okay.
Okay. So everybody, drive into the wall. Turn your car off.
Call
AAA quickly. So the guy's on the way. He won't be there before we finish this.
That's for sure.
Good. They're not a sponsor, are they?
No.
So close your eyes and be in that storm. Okay. See, that's the easiest thing I ever ask anybody to do, because that's where we live. That's why most people come to me. So you're caught in the storm, and things are blowing around, and you're ducking, and you're pushing, and you're trying to nail things down, and you're busy, and it's not working too well. Now what I'd like you to do, as you're in this storm, is take two steps, backward or in any direction, and step into the eye of the hurricane, to place right in the middle of the storm, where it's perfectly quiet, and calm, and peaceful. And even with the same stuff blowing around, you don't get hit. Right where you are, nothing's happening. And you can breathe, especially exhale.
Mm-hmm.
And we can talk more about that later. But right now, you can just enjoy the quiet. The outside storm may fade away, not because I'm a great hypnotist, but because it's not as fascinating anymore. If you don't get hit, it's just not as interesting. What's more interesting is how you can experience your body and your mind with quietness, with a little bit of relaxation, with calmness. Do you notice some calmness?
Yes.
It's cool, isn't it?
Yeah, I like it a lot.
All right, now, a couple things about this as you enjoy it. All you have to do is enjoy it. Is that notice how quickly you found it.
Mm-hmm.
The reason you found it that quickly is because it's always there. It's not like dial-up internet. It's like high-speed internet. It's always on, even when we forget. The other thing that I love about it is, in order to find the eye of the hurricane, you need the hurricane. So you don't have to quiet everything down. That's not keeping you from who you are. It's not keeping you from your path. That is the path. And notice it's right in the middle of the storm. So if you didn't have the storm, you wouldn't know where to go. The other thing is that for the number of years you've been alive, and I don't, you know, I've never seen you, actually, in all the years we've known each other. It's always been on the phone. So the number of years you've been alive, which is considerable, as it is for me,
mm-hmm.
nobody, none of the jerks, nobody who ever tried to destroy or even damage that eye of the hurricane, especially yourself, nobody could destroy it or even damage it.
Hmm. Interesting concept.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that that eye of the hurricane that you own, that is your birthright, that is who you are, and in my own personal opinion is eternal, that's more powerful and more peaceful than anything else. So to me, peace and power are synonymous. Because if you know that no matter what anybody does, anybody or anything does, that they cannot damage or destroy this, your eye of the hurricane, that's, you can feel pretty peaceful, and you can, and that's enormous power.
Mm-hmm.
To know that no matter what happens, that's why the saints would be burned at the stake and die peacefully. Because they're not destroying the eye. Nobody's destroying the eye of the hurricane. And the holy people knew this. So it's like, take anything you want, because what you really want, you're not going to get from me. See? So the thing about giving our power away is that nobody else can use it. It's really not, it really doesn't work for anybody else but
ourselves. That's a good thing.
So, notice how good you can feel, right? And you feel more relaxed than when we started.
Yeah, I really do. I feel really nice and centered.
Let me point out something else. From the time that you felt less relaxed to now when you feel more relaxed, nobody learned his lesson. Nobody apologized. peace treaties weren't signed. Results of elections weren't overturned. Nobody left. Nobody came back. Neither of us won the lottery that we know about, although I'll check when I get home. Nothing changed that we know about. What changed is your awareness and your ability to be in your own body and be more peaceful. And if we can do that in, I don't know, 6 minutes, 8 minutes, and most of that was me just yapping, you got in it in like 5 seconds.
I loved it.
Yeah. Well, if we can do that in 5 seconds, imagine what we can do in some sessions. See? And I'm not selling you sessions, I'm selling every one of your listeners.
You need to give your website, and then I want to get into the resonance tuner.
Okay, let me give a couple websites, if that's okay.
You bet.
Okay. The first is easy because I don't have to spell it. Sourcehypnosis.com.
I don't know how to spell source.
What's that?
I said,
oh.
I don't know how to spell source.
Sourcehypnosis. .com, I think. No, that's wrong. Hypnosis, hypnosis.com. Or you can Google my name.
I shouldn't have gotten him to spell it, I can tell.
What's that?
I shouldn't have gotten you to spell it, I can
tell.
Well,
I guess I could have read it, but...
I'm teasing you.
I know. at any rate, so that gives an idea a lot about what we're talking about today as far as inner peace, ending the conflict, and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
The website for the tuner is resonancetuner.com, resonancetuner.com.
Now, I'm kind of intrigued by these resonance tuners.
Yes.
Do they help with cell phones? What do they do? What exactly do they do, and how
I
do
have
they
not
do
a,
it?
You know, I have not a clue what they do, but...
Did you design it?
yes and no.
Okay.
The energy, again, this... I believe that Harold Bennett tapped into an energy that's been around for a long time. Okay, I don't take any credit for creating a new energy on this earth. And I don't think he would either. And it's a very kind, smiling, benevolent energy. I used to say that's how I knew it wasn't mine. but I'm growing into that energy and growing into being a walking advertisement for the work that I do. You know, because you see, sometimes you see people, you know, they can hardly move, and they say, well, I'm going to teach you how to raise your vibrational level on this earth. And, you know, you just kind of don't believe it. Another thing, when I present, like I'm presenting at the Dowsers Conference in Santa Cruz, I think we have like an hour and a quarter. That's how the classes are set up. And people come in to present, and they say, I've got 6 days of material. I don't know how I'm going to get through all this. And you spend the rest of the presentation wondering what you're missing. So I walk in, and I say, listen, we have an hour and a half. I've got 12 minutes of killer stuff. We'll get it all in. And people relax. The tuner... Again, I don't know what it does. I don't know how it works per se. But I don't know how my car works, other than.
But this is sort of like a little credit card looking thing.
It's,
huh?
Yeah, it looks like a credit card. It's on the picture's on the website. The artwork has changed over the years. This is about the fourth incarnation of the artwork. It's from a picture that, well, I guess maybe it isn't. I got this done by a professional artist the last time, and it really shows. So it's the size of a credit card. It's plastic, and people who are sensitive to energy will feel it right away. People tell me that they'll use it to get rid of aches and pains. They'll use it on whatever they're maybe allergic to or sensitive to, and they tell me that they don't notice the reaction anymore. So it tends to harmonize us with either our pain or what we come in contact with. One woman wrote her ex-husband's name on a piece of paper and held the tuner over that name and was able to, again, move along a little bit, get unstuck from some of the emotions she was stuck with.
I always heard that you're supposed to write it on a piece of paper and freeze it in the fridge. But to go back to the resonant tuner, I'm kind of interested in that. So, like, when people, you said they'll apply it to some area of discomfort or wound or something, and then after that, what do? Up the ante? When it's neutralized, then do you increase it, or is that the end of that?
Well, that I guess that's it. I mean, if you have a headache and you take an aspirin, the headache goes away. Mm-hmm. You don't even think about it anymore.
So who did the tuning of this thing? Who created it?
Me. I'm the one that sort of infuses each card with that process, with the energy that does that harmonizing.
Huh.
So it's a simple process that each card goes through. There's no magnets, crystals, electricity, computers, machines involved. It's very simple. Because of how I was able to get the information, either I'm not at liberty or I don't choose to be at liberty to divulge that, like, you know, the secret. It's a proprietary. It's like, you know, the thing is, we don't know how the formula for Coke, but if we enjoy Coke, then we're enjoying the whole formula. It's there. We have the secret in our hands, even though we're not consciously aware of it, and it performs the benefits. So at the same time, I made some promises about not divulging information. Mm-hmm. When you hold the card, you have that energy, and it's complete.
Hmm.
So people say, well, I need it explained. You know, I'm scientific, and I need answers. And I mentioned to them that years ago, I realized that as long as I'm alive, I can never see with my own eyes in my head the back of my own head. I can see reflections of it, I can feel it with my fingers, but I can never see it with my eyes. And when I learned, when I accepted the fact that I can live with that mystery following me around, I figure I could live with a few other mysteries.
And I think it's a relief not to know a lot of things.
Well, this is how I describe it, okay? Someone, the pain goes away,
mm-hmm.
okay? Now, let's say you gave me a radio for as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I was a scientist, the first thing I would do is take it apart and see where the music came from.
Mm-hmm.
Now, two things about that. Number one is no more music. And number two is what's the likelihood you'd ever give me anything ever again? So if you give me a gift and I say, wow, this is beautiful, thank you, you'll look for stuff to give me. See? And I can enjoy the music nonstop. If someone gets a benefit, okay, maybe their headache goes away or whatever it is. And I'll say, well, how did it work? I'll say, this is how I explain it scientifically. Okay, you can do this. Listeners can do this. Okay, wherever they are.
Okay.
Take your left palm and, like, if you're sitting, put it on your knee. Okay? And take your palm facing up. So your palm is facing the ceiling. Take your right palm and put it on your right knee facing up. And then look up and say, thank you. Because it's a gift.
Hmm.
Nobody, a doctor can't tell you how aspirin works. But that doesn't stop us from using it. I don't know how my car works other than I turn the key, it makes noise, I push my gas pedal and it goes. I know how to use it, but I don't know how it works.
Well, if reality is subjective, one of my favorite lines is change the energy, change the reality, right?
Of course.
So tell me about this little tuner, because can you wear it in your pocket? Can you keep it in your purse, or will it get weak? And
since I have a connection in the company, I have a few tuners. I keep some in my wallet.
Mm-hmm.
I put one on the dashboard of my car. We were driving down a country road in Washington State several years ago, and I felt my eyelids drooping. I was falling asleep. It wasn't your radio show, but it was another one. And
just as well.
Absolutely, yeah, it definitely wasn't yours. And I said to my wife, I said, Anita, can you hand me a tuner? And I put it on the dashboard, and immediately I felt like I had toothpicks in my eyes.
My eyes
just wouldn't close, yeah.
Huh.
Another time I was tossing and turning in bed, I couldn't fall asleep. And usually I'll fall asleep on my right side or my left side, so I couldn't fall asleep. So finally I reach up, I grab a tuner, I hold it in my left hand, I turn on my back to see which way I was going to turn to fall asleep, and that's the last thing I remember.
Hmm.
So the tuner sometimes works in mysterious ways. Like I say, I carry it around. I don't assume that it's doing anything until I apply it somewhere.
Hmm.
Other people they ask me if they could, you know, punch a hole in it and wear it around their neck, and sure. There was a time when, out as a musician, I got called to do the ballet. I think it was the Nutcracker or Swan Lake, one of those.
You were a flautist?
Yeah, flute player. Yes. So I was playing flute in the orchestra, and I hadn't done a lot of ballet work and orchestra work, so I took a tuner and I put it in my breast pocket, and I noticed two things. Number one, I wasn't nervous at all, which I may or may not have been anyway, but the thing that I really noticed that was different was my concentration was really good.
Hmm.
And that's that was a change. So,
does this also impact the instruments? You were talking about your friend's Harold
Bennett.
Yeah, his ability to tune the instruments. Is that right?
Yeah, he called it homogenization.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, can the
tuner will do that.
It will, eh?
Yeah. So if there's a musician and he tunes his instrument, then he's going to probably, or she is going to notice that the instrument feels better. There was a guitar player. I think it was a guitar player, a harpist, the guitar player, and we did an experiment. I said, well, let's see. And he played his guitar for a while, and then we tuned it. We applied the resonance tuner, and then he played for a lot longer. I heard a difference. Maybe it's wishful thinking on my part, but I at least thought I heard a difference.
Did he notice a difference?
Well, he played it. The thing is, instead of just playing it for a little while, he played it for a long while. So obviously he was having a good time. But then maybe it didn't fit his paradigm, or he just wasn't noticing. But he said, well, I don't notice any difference. So it's like one guy, a friend of mine, hurt his neck. He had an accident with his truck, and he hurt his neck. And he's moving it just a lot, you know, like a half inch one way or another. He says, you know, my neck really hurts. I said, do you mind if I try something? So I used the tuner on his neck for maybe a minute,
mm-hmm.
and he, like, rolls his head all the way around. And I said, do you notice anything? He said, no. So, you know, if it's going to, and it's, I used to say that it's like a half mile further along woo-woo highway than most of us have been.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it makes sense, but I tell people that ever since I developed a tuner, I haven't seen people look at me with two eyes in 10 years. Because they, what is this? And they, you know, look at me sideways.
What about clearing space? You know, when you do work with people and it's very emotional and stuff, the space can get kind of cloggy or...
That's a good idea. Yeah, absolutely. It's good for that. I'll tell you a story about that. The other thing is that I have a CD, an audio CD.
Mm-hmm.
It's me playing flute, but the energy of the tuner is in the sound of the CD, so you can just play the CD and clear the room.
Hmm.
There was a time I went in to play Showboat in the local theater, and they had so many amplifiers and electrical equipment that I heard this amazing buzz, and it was like my head was buzzing.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that I have to, like, not play the show because it was going to be 3 weeks. And after the first 15 minutes, I was in pain because my head hurt so much from the buzzing. I went outside, I took the card, and I held it near the building or near, you know, I sort of covered the building. You know, if you walk a fair distance, you hold the tuner and it'll cover the building.
Right.
And my, obviously, intention was to clear that space. And I walked in after that and never had a problem.
Hmm.
So, yes, you can clear. If everything is energy, and what we're doing is affecting energy, then in theory there's nothing we can't do.
Right. I think that's really true. And Harold, before you, was just talking about doing brain surgery just with our imagination and
yes.
having effectiveness, you know.
Yeah, he's great.
What were you going to? What are you going to talk about at the Dowsers?
It's called Dowsing the Language of the Matrix.
Wonderful.
Greg Braden gave a talk, and he said the most effective way to make changes is to change how we experience ourselves emotionally, and to give ourselves the feeling of what we want ahead of time, so we know the direction we're going. I realized as I listened to that talk that when I do the Eye of the Hurricane, that's exactly what I'm doing. Because another question that I didn't ask you when you were in the Eye of the Hurricane is, and I use these words. I say, do you have any complaints? And nobody's come up with any complaints. Now, and I've done this maybe, 100 times, 1,000 times, whatever it is by this time. How many people know 100 people in their lives who spend 10 seconds without any complaints? So to me, that's extraordinary that you can be on this earth and have no complaints.
So it's a guided visualization into feeling really good.
What's that?
It's a guided visualization into feeling good.
Yes, and I don't even, I don't use the word visualization because some people don't see it as much. So I like to think of it as an experience. The image allows you to create that experience or enjoy that experience. Like I say, you're not creating inner peace. It's there already.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell people that just as a rich person doesn't have to live in a bank vault to know that she's rich, a rich person can leave a house without any money, can't buy a newspaper or a cup of coffee. That doesn't mean they're poor. It means they forgot their money.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't live in that eye of the hurricane. It lives within us. We can forget that it's there. We can get irritable. We can get sad. We can get afraid. We can do all those things. I'm an expert at all those things. But it doesn't mean that we don't have that inner peace. It means that we temporarily forgot. So, and there was a woman. People don't always get the images the way they think they should. One woman, I said, call on the part that's causing the problem. Is she with you? And the woman says, no. I said, if she were with you, do you know what she would look like? Uh-huh. I said, well, then put her there. That's okay. And then I said, ask her this question. And she asked the question. She says, I'm not getting an answer, which didn't surprise me. So I said, if you were getting an answer, do you know what the answer would be? She says, uh-huh. I said, well, that's the answer. So it's not the same process for everybody. It's not the same experience. One person didn't go into the eye of the hurricane. He floated above it. Well, fine. That's great. So however they do it, and in my work, I give instructions that are vague enough that people don't, the thing I love about giving instructions that people can't follow correctly is that they can't follow them incorrectly.
Right.
So if it leads them into their own wisdom and their own way of experiencing it, that works better.
So in your talk with the 12 minutes of pithy information.
Yes.
Tell me again what the title is, because you were talking about the matrix of what?
Well, the matrix, I guess, is, everything that is and how it's all interrelated. So I use that term because, Greg Braden used it and people like him and seem to understand. So I just use that as a buzzword. But it's getting in touch with the language that creates the changes the most quickly. And mm-hmm. to me, that's emotion.
So this is the route to changing your reality in many ways. Or
absolutely.
Creating your reality.
Sure. And perception is more important than the truth.
Mm-hmm.
There's an old hypnotist. Are you on a headset?
Yes, I sure am.
Okay. You want to do another experiential thing?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
And you're watching the clock, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, because I'm not. So take your two arms and put them out in front like you're Superman flying,
mm-hmm.
Got it. And then turn your left palm facing up.
Okay.
No, your left palm. Just kidding. Now, close your eyes.
The only one left.
What's that?
It's the only one I have left.
Well, you're all right now. So I had a friend. In fact, he's in the hospital last night. He swallowed a dollar bill.
Oh.
Just before we got together for this show, I called him up, and there's no change yet.
Oh, come on.
So that's why I don't last more than 12 minutes. So your arms are straight out.
Yep.
Now, close your eyes and use your imagination. Imagine that on your left hand I place a dictionary.
Okay.
A hardback, unabridged dictionary, the kind they wheel around in libraries, never meant to be lifted. And feel the weight of that dictionary pushing your arm down.
Mm-hmm.
And from your laughter, you can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
On your right wrist, I tie a ribbon with 20 helium balloons.
Okay.
And those balloons begin to pull your right arm up toward the sky. Isn't that cool?
Yep, very suggestible.
Now, even now, and some people it takes a little bit longer, and that's okay. But even now, notice that your left shoulder is more tired than your right shoulder.
It is, yeah.
Which means that you created a physical change in seconds using what's commonly referred to as just your imagination.
Hmm.
Well, but imagination, nothing would exist without it. Nothing would exist unless it was in somebody's imagination first, which makes imagination maybe the first or second most powerful creative force in the universe. And the other thing to keep in mind is that for the length of time you had your eyes closed, you were living your life as if there were dictionaries and balloons. Well, the truth is, the news flash is that there were none, which means that a perception, and I define perception as anything you know with your five senses, your emotions, everything you see, you know, everything you sense with your five senses, feel, understand, believe, and think. So it takes it all. So perception is how we live our lives. Well, notice that a perception doesn't have to be true for the effect to be real.
Mm-hmm.
So we have perceptions, we have beliefs, we have emotions, we have experiences, and some of us act like dictionaries and weigh us down,
mm-hmm.
and others act as balloons and pick us up.
Mm-hmm.
So the process...
Actually, I stuck a couple of wings on my dictionary and it lifted my arm.
Yeah, you can change it. See, that's the thing. And Harold, that's how Harold does it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he creates an image or he acknowledges the image and then he changes it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I do. There's an image and there was a guy that came in. He had pain in his knee. Okay, that's not why he came in. But at the end of a session, we have some time. He's got his eyes closed. He's focused inward. And I said to him, if that pain was a color, what color would it be? And he said, green, which is usually a healing color, which is why I don't tell people what the color is. I ask them what the color is. And I say, notice that green, as you look at it, that green begins to fade, maybe half a shade. He says, I can't get rid of the pain. It hurts too much.
Oh, God.
Now, I didn't ask you to get rid of the pain. I said, leave the pain where it is. I could have done like a hypnotic suggestion and say, forget about the pain, but I didn't. Because we are so powerful that I don't have to trick you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, leave the pain where it is. Can you see the green? He said, yes. I said, do you notice that as you look at it, it fades a little bit? He said, yes. I said, let it keep fading until at some point it'll stop fading. Maybe it'll change into some other color, or most likely it'll fade till it disappears. Let me know what happens. And then, believe it or not, I kept my mouth shut.
Good
I figured I'd get that in before you. So, about 30 seconds later, he opens his eyes, out of hypnosis, and I say, what's happening? He said, the pain in my knee is gone.
Oh, great.
So we have, and this isn't something that we're not taught, we have more power and more peace than we've been led to believe.
That's excellent. And we're going to have to be silent in a minute because they're going to pull us off stage here.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to meeting you in person.
Same here.
And experiencing the resonant tuner, but I've enjoyed this talk with you, Alan, and looking forward to your talk on the Matrix and how we can shift it, right?
Yeah, that'll
be great.
Maybe
they'll make a movie about it.
What's that?
I said, maybe they'll make a movie about it.
Gee, maybe I can get a Johnny Depp to play me.
Yeah. That'd be good.
We may have to wait a few years till he ages.
Thank you very much for coming on to Paradigm Shifters, and thanks for all the work you're doing. It's wonderful.
Thank you very much.
Take care, Alan.
You too.
Well, this is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you for listening. I hope you all enjoyed. That was a little different than our normal Paradigm Shifters because he covers like a whole bunch of different points of view regarding our perceptions and our personal power. And next week we're going to have Radiance by Design at 4 o'clock West Coast time, and it's going to be a call-in show. going to be all about you and me and the guides and angels talking about energy, your energy, creating your reality, and so on. And our paradigm shifter, just a second, is, her name is Rowena Kreider, K-R-Y-D-E-R. And we have these wonderful cards that she created, vibrational healing cards. She does an awful lot of stuff with images and symbolism from the universe, and it's going to be a very exciting connection with her. And she's also a dowser, so she's going to be at the Dowsers Conference next week. And on Thursday night, I'm going to be on with Jackie Silvitti and her team on ET Healing at 8 o'clock on BBS Radio. And I really enjoyed my time with you today, and many blessings to all of you. And remember, it's our perception, so if they aren't so hot right now, back up into the eye of your hurricane and really find that peaceful place where nothing can ever be snitched from you or stolen from you, and then we'll change the world and be peaceful. So much love to all of you. Oh, my name is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive, and if you'd like a session with me, a see things, hear things, work with your healing techniques with my guides and angels, your higher self, my higher self, and we create magic too. You can email me, Veronica, at Veronica Entwistle, ENTWISTLE.com, or phone me, 510-595-5564, and we'll set up a session. And for those of you who are going to be at the Dowsers in Santa Cruz, I look forward to meeting with you in person. Good evening, and much love. See you next week.